Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It is a great day to be alive in Pittsburgh, PA. Welcome in. Good morning, friends, Yinzers, countrymen, far and wide. Make sure you're following us on X at Kabali and Mac, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, of course, all the social medias, as the kids say. On YouTube, if you're subscribed and you got in there under the 1500 mark or at the 1500 mark, you're going to have a chance to win something today, and we appreciate each and every one of you for jumping on board. Thank you so much. Subscribe if you haven't yet. You'll be a part of the next giveaway, which, kaboom, it's a big one. It's a big one. He's veteran Steelers reporter Mark Kabali. I'm Chris Mack, just some dude talking into a microphone. That's going to be a big giveaway, the next one.
So I hear. I haven't actually gotten my hands on it.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen it myself yet, but I've been told by our friends at First and Goal that it's going to be a big one for the next giveaway. I don't know. We might have to go all the way up to 2,500 subscribers because it's just that massive, this giveaway. And I'm really excited about it. So massive, not in size, but in stature. And the timing is very good. You're going to want to be involved in this one before it should, I don't know, go in a different direction maybe on how you view it. I'll just leave it at that. I don't want to get too into it and give something away before it's time to give it away. But giving things away is what we'll do today anyway with the autographed Pat Freiermuth helmet. We'll do that before the end of the show. We'll pick someone at random, one of our first 1,500 subscribers. Thanks, as always, to all of our fantastic sponsors for supporting us, especially presenting sponsor, the Dan Heck Team. Heck Team Homes, H-A-E-C-K, heckteamhomes.com. You're looking to buy or sell a home in the Pittsburgh area. The whole gang is there waiting to help you get into the first home, move from the starter home into the forever home, whatever it may be. You're looking to buy or sell real estate in the Pittsburgh area. The Dan Heck Team, there to help you at heckteamhomes.com. Kaboom, OTA start on Tuesday. You got to get to work. You got to get down there to the south side and start putting in time, you know?
Yes. Abbreviated OTA session, only 6 sessions over 2 weeks, followed by a 3-week mini camp. So by, what are we looking at? 3.5 weeks, they are done.
Yeah, only six OTA sessions instead of the usual 10. I'm not sure what Mike Tomlin's reasoning is for that, other than the fact that he just doesn't have the desire to put guys through 10 practices. I don't know. I'm curious to see how many veterans, to what extent they take part in these. There's a contract thing.
They will all be there. There's no doubt about that. But the problem is when they're on the field, and I don't know if it's 10:30 to 11:30, 12 o'clock, a lot of them just are inside working out or not really on the field. So you're like, oh, so-and-so's not here, but yeah, he's in back somewhere just putzing around. So I would imagine the majority of the players, if not all of them, will be there, and that's including, you know, Watt Hayward, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I don't see anybody actually skipping, to be honest with you.
Well, there's one guy that probably won't be there.
He's not under contract either.
Yes,
so. Exactly.
So, 6 OTA sessions, 3 next week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, 3 the following week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then the week after that, you have your mandatory mini camp, which will be when everybody is in the fold, fully practicing.
Wow.
Except, no kidding. except
no hitting or anything. They just go through a full week. They do their Tuesday, they'll do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but they'll set it up like a Wednesday, Thursday, Friday during a regular season week. So new people to the organization get at least the initial feel of how a week goes.
So what is answer this question for me. What is the difference in practices between OTAs and mandatory minicamp? Is it?
I think it's longer.
Okay.
That's about it. There's no hitting. You're not allowed to hit. That's why the past couple of years you've had the a lot of offensive linemen being drafted and like how so-and-so look. I don't know. They're just out there going through drills right now. They're not allowed to hit. I mean, come talk to me 7 days into training camp when they're allowed to finally put on the helmet and the pads and start hitting each other. I can go out there and convince myself of Broderick Jones looking like a superstar come Tuesday, but it's going to mean a darn well thing until he puts the helmet on and actually gets out there and hits something. That goes the same on the other side. So, I mean, you'll be able to see the talent and maybe they'll do some install. They'll do probably a quick install then just to get them acclimated. But nothing too over the top where, you know, they do have 5-6 weeks off in between that as well. But I think they want to get them initially integrated into the system and how they do their business. Because what is it? Half the roster's new? If not, darn close to half the roster's new.
Yeah. Yeah, and I want to go over some of the stuff to watch for, even though, like you said, it's not a full contact practice. Certain guys probably won't be on the field for the whole thing, especially during OTAs.
If we only had a guest, Mac, that would be able to take part of these OTAs, it could tell us what really goes on there.
Hmm. Oh, yeah. Somebody who's been through them before?
Yeah.
Mike Logan will join us in about 20 minutes. Super Bowl Steeler, Super Bowl 40 winner. WVU grad, McKeesport grad, and he's going on a Steelers cruise later this summer, I think I saw. I gotta ask him, like, is that weird being on a Steelers cruise when, like, you don't really – it's great, you're on a cruise, right? But you don't really get any time to yourself, and you're, like, kind of one of the attractions of why people are on the – like, you got to entertain the whole time, I would think.
Yeah. Well, that's what you get for a free cruise, I guess. I wonder if he's like Frank Costanza pulling out the cabana wear.
Where would a Cabali cruise go to?
I told you I went there once. Where'd I go? I went to Belize and I can't remember. What's that? The Grand Cayman and...
It's like the Bahamas.
Some goofy island. Roatan. Is that what it's called? Roatan?
Roatan. I don't know. I haven't heard
of it. It's one. Like you go back into there and
it's just Honduras. There it is. I just looked it up.
It's just an island in the middle of the Caribbean. So it was interesting. It was a nice, but the best part of that was is that's when I got engaged on the way back home and we were going through a tropical depression on that boat. So I had all these plans on outside and, you know, very Titanic like.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the boat was like, this is interesting.
It almost became Titanic like, literally.
Honestly, you can't even tell those boats are moving.
Oh, I can.
But you can, during this tropical depression, you could feel it moving.
Yeah. I've only been on one cruise. But it was like a short one, so they had to step on the gas to get to the Bahamas where we were going. And literally, if you looked out the one end of the ship, you could see the horizon line just bobbing up and down. I was like, man, I might not be long for this. I ended up getting my sea legs, but it took a day.
You wear those little patches? I didn't.
I don't think I did.
I didn't. Forget that.
You're a tough guy. I don't need no seasick patch. I don't get seasick. Cruise. I grew up on the Mon.
The cruise. It wasn't interesting. I know people that's all they do is go cruises. You know what I would like to do? Go to Alaska on a cruise, like during the summer.
Where you get like 18 hours of daylight.
No, you just go up through the Alaskan mountains and all that. I heard that's beautiful.
I bet it's very picturesque, but like I'm going on a cruise to like hang out by the pool and stuff. I don't need to take a drunkard.
You and Santoro are drunkards.
I'm not a drunkard. What are you talking about? Just sip a little something.
Where were you at last night?
Y108's 8-Man Jam.
Thanks for the invite.
A little country concert. You don't like country music.
Was Shaboozy there?
Shaboozy was not.
No? Pomp was there, huh?
Pomp and his wife were there. Pittsburgh royalty, right there in the front row. They love those shows.
No, they went there on purpose, or were they weren't. No, I mean, they, as in purpose. I mean, they didn't go for a speaking engagement or anything like that.
No, they weren't part of the show. Yeah. They go because Bob's wife Lisa loves country music. Okay. Every time she sees me, she tells me how she listens every afternoon to Y108.
That's
thank her very much. She's wonderful. She's a sweetheart, and she if they don't have anything else going on when we do those shows, there's one in November usually, one in May usually, they are always there. Jeez. Hardcore country music fans.
Isn't your boy coming, Jelly Roll, here at the end of the week?
Next Thursday. Next Thursday, Post Malone and Jelly Roll. You gonna complain that I don't get you tickets for that, too?
Like, I would go see Jelly Roll. Although I already saw like two songs of Jelly Roll.
You did, yeah.
Jelly Roll. But yeah, because I tried to go on the Gateway Clipper fleet for the Monster Jam, and it wasn't open. And they said, next one is Jelly Roll and Post Malone. I'm like, coming to town.
That's where a Cabali cruise should be, on the Gateway Clipper.
I haven't been on that sucker in 40 years.
Really?
40
that would be
years.
Perfect. Cabali cruise on the Gateway Clipper. That's something we got to work on. Thanks, as always, to our good friends at Southwest Greens for supporting us here at Cabali and Mac. Visit southwestgreenspa.com. You need your lawn to look better than it does. We all do, really, let's be honest. But you don't want to put all the work into it. You just want it to look good, and you want to be able to actually use it. You don't have to worry about, oh, I got to cut it today, and then it's going to rain for 3 days. I can't mow it again, and then it's going to grow, and I got to mow it again. And then it's going to die in the middle of the summer because I got to water it constantly. And if I don't, well, there you go. And then I got to spray fertilizer on it. And all this stuff you got to do and think about your lawn. Get an artificial surface laid down by Southwest Greens. Go to southwestgreenspa.com. Tell Jake the Cabali and Mac sent you. You will have the best looking, most functional yard in the neighborhood with the least amount of maintenance and worries and concerns. SouthwestGreensPA.com. We thank them for supporting Cabali and Mac. Okay, so what's the number one thing you are going to look for when you get down to OTAs on Tuesday?
Probably cafeteria lunch, see what they're having.
On the field, I meant.
On the field. It's usually, well, first you have to do is take attendance, make sure TJ Watt's there, make sure, you know, he's the only one that could possibly have a contract issue, but you have to make sure he's there, see how they look, how he looks, see what he's participating in, try to get a feel if he's doing the hold-in or whatnot. He might talk, he may not, but I mean, obviously I want to see what you can. Like I said, you can't really determine a lot from the offensive or defensive line. So I would like to see how the Roman Wilson, Calvin Austins are. See if they, if you see a noticeable step forward. I think Roman Wilson is going to look fabulous. You might hear that coming out of these first 2 weeks. Boy, Roman Wilson looks like a different guy. Roman Wilson looks like a different guy. Now, he actually looked like that last year, but he just wasn't been able to
actually get on the field.
I'm just looking at the last.
Can't make the club in the tub. Hey, we'd like to thank our presenting sponsor, Dan Heck, for pointing out that he thinks I look hungover today.
That's why I got confused there.
Thank you, Dan.
Well,
appreciate you. No, I'm not hungover. Jeez, I had two whiskeys. That was it.
I don't know.
I had to drive home. I had a very early, and then I ate a bunch of canes. And I was ready to get by the time the show was over at 10.
I'm going
to
take a really bad screenshot of this and post it on the internet and say Mac drunk during podcast today and see how that goes.
At least I'm awake, big boy. At least I'm awake.
Works. You see what that? You see what it is? You can make anything look bad. Fake news. All right, what was I talking about?
The wide receivers, Roman Wilson.
Yes, I think Roman Wilson will look fabulous out there. I mean, you want to see Will Howard actually throw a ball. I mean, I guess he did throw one 2 weeks ago, but we weren't privy to that. We weren't allowed to see that. But last year, you could see right away last year that Justin Fields was a guy that was not consistent, right? Maybe that's something
accuracy issues.
I mean, he looked great at times. He looked terrible at times. And where did that end up turning up? It ended up morphing right into the regular season, looking good at times, looking bad at times.
There's two things I want to ask you then. One is, do you think either Roman Wilson or Calvin Austin can do enough that they don't feel the need to go out and sign another veteran receiver?
No, I think that's okay. I think they will definitely get one. They'll probably be before they go on their hiatus here too, within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, you think they bring them in for minicamp? Whoever, yeah,
maybe
it is,
the end of it, something like that. Not minicamp, maybe the end of minicamp, somewhere around here, so they can get that done. I don't think they can take the chance of waiting to see how things unfold in training camp. Although there is always a possibility, because you know, in mid to late August, when people are cutting 40 times 32, right, of players, that somebody's going to come available they could maybe be able to snatch up or trade for. But I don't think you can wait for that. I think they learned their lesson last year where you can't really count the old eggs in the basket, right? Can't count the chickens before they're hatched, whatever it's called.
Wait, you can't count the pigs in the basket?
I said the eggs in the basket.
Oh, I was like, what the hell are you talking
can't
about?
The chickens before they're hatched. So gotcha. I think they will. I think they will go get themselves a veteran like receiver. You know, I mean, we hear the names, but it's probably not going to be those guys, right? It's probably not going to be the Keenan Allens or the Amari Coopers, or they would have been here by now. So
you think? I mean,
I think, yeah.
Why? I mean, why couldn't it be one of those guys?
I just, like I said, what are those two waiting for?
A decent offer, put some pressure on a team that maybe, you know, has an injury. Maybe they're the kind of guys that don't sign until training camp somewhere.
Yeah, and I don't think the Steelers can afford waiting on that. Regardless, I think Calvin Austin, I mean, even if Calvin Austin plays well, this is expiring contract year too. Pickens is obviously gone. So, I mean, it's very possible next year you only got Metcalf and Roman Wilson, and Roman Wilson has about 12 snaps under his belt. So you better start adding somebody right there. And I think they did really wait too long last year, and they've learned from that, the IU thing. So I think they'll bring one in here. Maybe not for training camp, but I think it will be before that 5-6 week hiatus.
So what else? You detailed the search for lunch will be on as soon as you get there. Wide receivers are worth watching. What else is worth keeping an eye on besides which guys are participating, which ones aren't? Because like you said, this isn't contact. We don't really get an eye on trench play, which is one of the things that's been the biggest focus of the roster build over the last couple of years, particularly this offseason.
You try to figure out if there's going to be any schematic differences on defense, and they tend to hold that close to the vest. What I'm saying is Peyton Wilson a three-down linebacker? Who's going to be your slot guy? Are they going to move anybody around on defense? I mean, once again, they normally hold that close to the vest, so it's hard to tell, but you'll be looking for that. You know, do they put Peyton Wilson in the position of being more of a rover at times? I mean, you know, just stuff like that, schematic-wise, and see if there's any big difference. Artie Smith's going to be tough. I think he just wants to do what he wants to do, and he just didn't have the ability to do that with some of the talent he had last year. So he had to sort of hold off a little bit, which he's going to have to again. I'm curious about that too, really. You think about that, the Mason Rudolph thing.
Right.
Are they just going to move forward right now? Is no Aaron Rodgers? I guess they have to, right?
What else? I mean, I think you have to continue to build the offense like it's going to move forward with Mason Rudolph as the quarterback.
You have to, yeah.
Unless this is something we've talked about before, unless they really have been in such close contact with Aaron Rodgers that they're talking to him on the side about, hey, you know, tell us which plays in our playbook you really like, then give us some of your favorite plays from the last, you know, 5-10 years or whatever it may be, and maybe we'll fold those in. But that's stuff that I don't think you can really do until you get the guy in the building, or at least ink on paper and officially signed. You know, like, I'm not sending him the full playbook when he still hasn't signed a contract.
Here's the thing, though, with the playbook. Do you think the playbook matters to Aaron Rodgers? Because I really do believe that it's going to be Aaron Rodgers' playbook. He's going to call what he wants to call. And that might be a little bit of a battle. And that would be interesting to see. Once again, I don't think if he did show up, say, sign later today, that you wouldn't be able to see that, say, in this three-week setting. But I want to believe that Aaron Rodgers is going to get a lot of carte blanche. Is that what it is when it comes to this offense, what he wants to do and what he wants to call?
But it can't be completely dismissive of what Arthur Smith has already
tried
to build.
Dismissive, but I think, put it this way, you know, with Kenny and even Russell to the degree last year of not being able to change the plays, that's not flying here with old former number 8, number 12, old Aaron.
Well, no, look, part of this, and I said this a few weeks ago when we were talking about Rodgers and what he brings to the offense, part of that is why Mike Tomlin, I think, is so invested in trying to bring Rodgers in. He wants an experienced veteran quarterback who he can trust to go in there and just grab the game by the throat when it has to go that way. That's what he had for years with Ben. It's what he's become accustomed to over the years. It's why things didn't work as well, whether it was Mitch or Kenny or Justin or Russ. And I think that probably has to give him just the slightest bit of comfort that if Rudolph is now back in the fold, Mason's not going to go out there and call a whole drive on his own the way Ben used to or the way Rodgers might be able to do at this point. But he's got a little more familiarity with the offense, I would think. But that's what Tomlin wants. He wants a guy like Rodgers who, when the bullets start flying late fourth quarter and you're down by 10 and you got to make things move and get it done now, that's a quarterback who can literally just start calling things in the huddle. And you could turn the speaker off in his helmet, turn Arthur Smith's mic off, and just let Rodgers go. And that, I think, in crunch time, sure, I got no problem with that. But it's got to be an offense that has Arthur Smith concepts married with Aaron Rodgers concepts if the two of them are truly going to be able to work together. Otherwise, Smith's going to resent Rodgers for just taking over the offense and throwing out his playbook, and you're going to get maybe some odd interactions there. Or if Rodgers doesn't have enough of a hand in it, he's going to resent Smith, and we know how that's going to turn out. He'll let everybody know about it.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard rumblings of Rodgers wanting to call his own plays. I don't know if that was part of their conversation here. What was that? Back in March? Or when was that? Late March when they were here? But I did hear some rumblings of that. I don't know how true that is. So, I mean, just keep that in the back of your mind more than a report or anything to that fact that there has been some, maybe, like I said, rumbling. That's the best word I can use right now of that's something he wants to do. But that's something, I mean, he's been in the league 20 years. He has 4 MVPs. You have to assume some of that was going to be that anyways.
But again, this is part of the reason why people, and this is a legitimate problem that people have, a legitimate beef with Rodgers not being in here and a part of OTAs, or maybe even a part of mandatory minicamp in 3 weeks, is I don't want to say all the work, but a lot of the work that you're doing these 3 weeks gets thrown out the window when Rodgers walks in the door. Because these next couple weeks, if they're about Arthur Smith installing things with Rudolph and Howard and Skylar Thompson, well, if it's going to be, I don't want to say again, a completely different offense, but if you're going to have large chunks of it that Rodgers brings in with him, you will not have worked on any of that until Rodgers actually walks in the door, whether it's the final week for the mandatory mini camp or the first week up in St. Vincent. And so I don't want to say the OTAs or anything that happens pre-Rodgers is a waste of time, because again, you know, Rodgers could get hurt for a couple weeks. Rodgers may ultimately not come in, who knows, but you know, when Aaron does get here, it's going to reduce the impact of anything you worked on before he got here.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just don't know how much, even if Rodgers was here, how much he would participate more than just a getting in and out of the huddle and making a couple, you know, short throws or whatever. I mean, there's, you know, I don't know how much he gets from that. How much can you learn from, you know, Roman Wilson or Calvin Austin by going out there in that setting? I think that's something that he can easily catch up with in training camp. So I wouldn't be too put back off of that, you know. But, you know, of when he wants to sign, when he's going to sign, I don't want the guy coming in, you know, Big Ben holdout, first round pick, old school days. Is he here week day one? Oh, here he comes week two, you know, day three, day four, finally ending his holdout. You know, that's probably what Rooney meant the other day. We'll wait, but not forever. That's the only thing. I think it has to be done, which I still think it will be done before minicamp. But before they go on this hiatus, it has to be done because you just can't go into training camp with this we don't know quite yet situation. You're setting yourself up for a major failure then.
Yeah, it's, and that's again a relevant beef that a lot of people have, is that it's getting down to one of your favorite phrases, not cutting time. So get in here, Aaron. Nobody's testicles are getting chopped off. We went over this.
Yeah, I still don't know understand what nuts were you cutting, peanuts or bushes? And
well, you still got to cut them from the branch.
You just pull them and shake them.
Pull them and shake them.
Yeah.
Okay. Good to know. Well,
how
you're all over the harvesting of nuts.
I know how they harvest like fruit and trees. They get these machines and wrap like a belt around them and just shake them.
Really?
You know, just fall down. They just pick them up like apples. What do you think? They go up there and pick them?
I don't know. I never thought about it, to be honest. You've really thought a lot more about agriculture than I have.
And you went to Penn State.
Yeah. And you grew up in Westmoreland County.
No, I didn't. I'm Westmoreland County. Yes, I grew up in Westmoreland County, but
I
grew up, everything in my area was called Tri-County something. Tri-County this, Tri-County that, because Westmoreland County's here. Vietnam was there. Allegheny County was there, which is kind of weird, is because Washington County was across the river. It should have been Quad County.
I was going to say, why is it only Tri-County?
Because Allegheny County was about 15 minutes away. That's why.
Okay.
Allegheny County.
Allegheny County. I'm also curious to see, and this is a question somebody brought, the one position group I think you can watch somewhat closely, because a lot of this stuff without contact is just basically glorified 7-on-7, even though there's 11 guys on the field, are the defensive backs. And one of the things somebody at Yinzer Joe asked earlier, why'd they let Dante Jackson leave and sign Darius Slay when you're primarily a zone defense, in your opinion? I mean, my opinion would be Darius Slay's just better than Dante Jackson. I mean, that's simple calculus right there. Nothing against Dante Jackson. I thought he had a good year. The five picks that Yinzer Joe references there, I liked him. But if Darius Slay is available as an upgrade, I go in that direction.
Yeah. I mean, I think near the end of last year, first of all, he kept getting banged up, Dante Jackson. Every week it was something else. And you probably want to get out in front of that. I know you're adding this guy who's a little bit older than Dante Jackson, but he I think late in the season he didn't play as well as he did early in the season. So, I mean, if you're bringing in a guy like Darius Slay, and he is equal, if not a tad better than, say, Jackson, but he markedly helps Joey Porter, I mean, you have to take that into account too. Joey Porter is on that cusp of being, you know, his third year now? So,
yeah,
he's going to be up for a contract again next year as well. So you definitely want to see what you have in him. And hopefully, I think that's why they got rid of their defensive back coach. And I think that's part of the reason why they brought in Slay as well. But I think Slay is a big upgrade than Dante Jackson, even though I thought Dante Jackson was a wonderful human.
Yeah, seemed like a really good dude.
Very nice guy.
You know who would be good to talk to about defensive backs, though? I can think of somebody who'd be great to talk to about defensive backs. Exactly. And he's here with us now. Super Bowl champ, Mike. Look at my man.
Hey, don't be changing my name to Mike Logan. I had Logue up there. Don't be changing my name.
I got to make it look official, okay?
No, man, listen. We don't get official on here. Listen, I ain't even letting y'all get started. I'm coming at Mark's ass right now.
Oh, no.
Bali, you already know where I'm going.
I'm afraid.
No,
I'm
don't. You don't. But I'm going to kick your ass, though, when I see you.
I saw you last year.
I know I did. I know, but I ain't want to. I wanted to be professional then. But I'm going back. Before y'all even get started, I'm going back.
Oh, jeez.
It's probably about 10, 11 years now.
Okay.
Mark, you know, and Bob, K-Bob, I called him K-Bob. That was my dude. He was my go-to. After when I was playing, I started dabbling in media, and he would hit me up, and I would always, you know, breathe out. He calls me for an interview, and I knew where he was going with this. And I told him, I said, no, I'm not going live with you. I said, email me your questions. You remember this? You probably don't even remember this.
Boy, I can't remember what happened yesterday.
Hey, we're getting old now. He said, no, man, it's just a couple quick questions I want to ask you about. You know, the Steelers and the pain medicine and the NFL and all this stuff.
Okay. That was my first week on the job at the Trib.
Yes.
They were hammering me. They were absolutely hammering me of doing this story. I'm like, who the hell you want me to call?
Yeah. So he calls old dependable Logue. And I'm like, I know where you're going with this. This is all the time when the concussion movies coming out and all that type of stuff. And I'm like, hey, Bob, listen, the athletic staff took care of me during my 10-year career. My ass was always in the training room. I can't put no bad equity in with them. Soon as the paper comes out, headline, the biggest pitcher they ever promote me in the Trib ever, Logan says Steelers didn't warn him about pain medication. I'm like, yo, now I got to deal with Norwig. Ariko Issa was she came and picked me up for my training. She's like, what the hell you mean? And specifically, I said, I don't blame them. It was always the onus on the players about what we put into our bodies, how we took care of ourselves. You put me in the doghouse with the marketing team for a few years. So you owe me some compensation. Next time I see you, dinner on you, damn it.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm ready for this. I was excited.
Mike has been holding on to this for a decade and a half.
A whole decade, man.
If I do recall, it was a very good quote by you, Mike.
Oh, it was awesome. But I had to interact with fans like, oh, F you, man. You ain't talking about the – I was like, listen. But that was the first time I had got numbers on my Facebook fan page because I had so much interaction about that article and really got to make some good relationships over that. So I'll give you a little kudos on that. And I did get the bond with my audience and really explain. We really started to dive into everything that we talked about, the concussions, the pain medication, all that stuff. But I was holding on to that for a long time. You could tell.
Well, thanks, Mac, for setting me up here.
I had no idea.
Oh, I wasn't going to let the cat out the bag. I wasn't going to let the cat out the bag. But I said, it's better for me to verbally get it out than to just jump on you when I see you. You know, that could have been an assault charge, too.
Yeah, I saw you at Swissville last year for the old 8U team.
Yeah, I couldn't do that in front of the kids. You know what I mean? I got to make sure that I keep it.
Couldn't put the business in the streets. I get it.
If you've seen 8U ball, there's a lot of things that go on that you probably don't wish you would see.
Listen. They calling me in the coach of my son's 8U baseball team right now. And Tuesday, I chest bumped the kid and almost knocked him out. So, it is what it is, man.
Just don't send him to see the Steelers trainers because then Kabali will write a whole story about it.
I just made amends with Norwig and Ryan Grove. I went up to IUP to see his son play. It was like, yo, you know what I mean? I don't know what K-Bob was talking about. It was all...
Come on, Norwig's a great dude, man. Norwich, he ain't, awesome. he ain't,
They never even questioned me about it. There was some drawback when they were talking about Dr. Bradley. I'm like, look, Dr. Bradley repaired both of my knees post lateral ligaments. I'm good with them, but
Well, you should say that. I go see him on Wednesday.
Oh, you do? Yeah, tell James P. He's my dude, man. I call him James P.
I see his helper there, but yeah. Put it this way: when you're coaching your 8-year-old team, do you tell them that you almost basically invented Renegade?
Listen, I just listen. That's my saving grace right now. That's got me more marketing opportunities than I ever had in my career right now, just off of that little thing they ran when my play was the first time they played Renegade twice at the stadium and we mounted that comeback. So, believe me, I'm investing in that little marketing thing right there. So wait for the T-shirts to come out at Mike Logan Day at Kennywood. You'll see.
Mike Logan Day at Kennywood. That's great. That's, I mean, you get a day at Kennywood, you're the king of West
Memphis. I already had one. Oh. Already had one. You're late to the show, Matt. Do your research.
I missed
after Super Bowl XL. I ain't want to go to Disney. I went to Kennywood, baby.
Yes,
they had a whole sign outside. We love you too, Mike Logan. I was born. I was raised in West Mifflin, man.
Yeah,
raised in the mighty Wick. Come on, Matt.
I tried to tell him the other day. People referred to you as McKee Sport Mike, but hey, man, you're a West Mifflin guy.
Listen, now there's a story to that too. The great late Myron Cope. He gave me the nickname McKee Sport Mike. You can't argue with a legend. No. You know what I'm saying? That name is going to stick to you. But when I went back home to West Mifflin, they was like, bro, you West Mifflin Mike. What's going on? And I said, listen, there's enough of me to go around. I could be spread throughout the Mon Valley, okay? There's low love throughout the Mon Valley. There's enough of me to go around, baby.
Mon Valley Mike.
There we go. Let's make it happen.
I got to ask you, before we talk about football, for a couple minutes at least, this Steelers cruise that you're going on, you've done a couple of these, haven't you? Is that like, can you still enjoy yourself on the cruise, or is it like you got to entertain and be on the whole time?
So the way that the Legends cruise does it is where we are with a specific group of people. Like, even though there's other people on the ship and, you know, they have catered events for the group that we're with. And then they have a lot of staff there who are there that kind of navigates you through so you can also enjoy yourself as well. Because now people are just trying to book the cruise and not do the the excursions or the events with our Legends group. And they're trying to interact with us, but we're like, no, we're going to give the people who paid to come be with us the intimate fellowship and, give them the time. So you can still, you do have a lot of downtime, but you got to be on your game. And we kind of protect our group. So all the guys, I think my first one was 2016. I've been doing them every other few years since then. So now I got to lay the land and we kind of direct the people of where we're going. It's beautiful, man. Please. I was looking for the shirt. I was going to wear the shirt on air today just to promote it a little bit. But legendscruise.com, man, check it out, man. It's an awesome experience, an awesome time. We really get to gather with some of the guys who, you know, we might not have been around, but telling those stories in front of the intimate audience and having like parties where we can let our hair down and just be with that group of people. It's a fun time, man. It's a really good time.
Wow. You know, I do got to give a lot. I mean, I give you props, Mike, because you came to Pittsburgh, what, 01 maybe?
Yeah.
01. Yep. 01. That was my first year covering the squad. I'm coming from the Key Sport. I didn't know what I was doing. Some people argue I still don't know what I'm doing. But anytime I needed something, back in the corner, right next to Jay Peasy.
No doubt.
31. Let me go talk to Mike.
No doubt.
And he gave me what I needed. So
all the time. That's why when that article came out and I said, this mother. I said, man, I got to let this dude know he caused a little riff in me. But no, you always been my guy, man. And look at you now, man. Look at the big things you've been doing since then.
I know. I haven't got a piano back here. Wait, that's my background. Hey, I don't got that big XL. Speaking of that, man, not only – I think you've got two of the more important – or at least the most important play of this century. Was that pick against Cleveland, man? People forget that changed the entire game.
just it's so funny because in the moment that play was the best and the worst thing that ever happened to me. It was the best play of my career because the momentum shift that it had and the significance of what that game was representing. But I also blew my knee out. Thanks to the Heinz Field turf that was previously in that field, I think I should still have, let me call Top Dog Law and see if I can get some money, get some money on a backdated injury. But no, I blew my knee out on that play. And I knew after that play and after that year of rehab that I probably lost a step. And I knew that, you know, it was going to, the writing was coming on the wall, although I was able to hang on for a few more years after that. But that play, it was on NFL Network. It's in some of the greatest plays for the comeback history, and it'll always be relived. So, you know, out of them 10 years, I at least can tell my kids, you know, your dad saved one game at least, you know what I mean? So I put that on display for them to see all the time.
Well, you also, and you talk about maybe losing a step in the last few years of your career, but that was also, I think, still probably the most impactful point in your career because you brought along Troy. And look, not to say that Troy Polamalu wasn't going to be a Hall of Famer anyway,
right.
But like, if he doesn't walk into a situation with a guy who's willing to, and you know, K-Bob, Cavalli always kills me for using the mentor aspect of a young quarterback coming up under cool. a veteran quarterback. But like you fully embraced that idea at safety no doubt. When Polamalu came in and were willing to train the guy who was going to take your job. No and doubt. Like that, I don't think if Polamalu doesn't get that early in his career, again, I'm not saying he doesn't become a Hall of Famer, but the whole trajectory could have been different.
Right. And, you know, for me, that it was never even a thought about that. I knew the business of the NFL. I knew what it was about. And seeing Troy, I knew that it was only, you know, a matter of time. I mean, they traded up in the first round to get this guy. And the tutelage that I was able to offer him was more in friendship and brotherhood. You know what I'm saying? About him getting into the league and learning how to handle himself. And, you know, I think he held out for like 2 or 3 days during training camp, and he didn't want to do that. And I was walking him through the business of it, of let your agent do his job and all of that type of stuff. When it came to the football stuff, all it was verbiage and him just settling down. You know, he came in trying to do so much because the expectations were so high on him and so low from me because I'm coming off of an injury and I'm 30 years old now. We knew that he was going to come in and take the reins from me and be able to do great things. I would have never imagined that he was going to become one of the best Pittsburgh Steelers in history, but you've seen it. But one of my greatest accomplishments during that time was being able to go to training camp and have my best training camp that I ever had in my whole career. And then being able to be named the opening day starter even that year when Troy came in. So for me, it was like he challenged me to get better in practice on a daily basis just because I knew what he had to offer. I mean, it only took a few games for him to be like, okay, Dick LeBeau's like, Troy is going to be starting. He's going to be our, no doubt about that. I mean, we knew that was going to happen. But the relationship that came from me just offering myself to him to be available. This dude shouted me out in his Hall of Fame speech. Where, like, that's a greater feat for me to tell people than it is about anything that I've done on the field. Because it speaks about who you are as a person, how you were raised, what your moral values are, what your character's about. And, you know, when people question that, I got some good backing from a Hall of Fame player who's one of the best in Steelers history to give me accreditation for that.
Oh, I've always wanted to ask you this. When you came here in 02, they didn't give away number 31 in some 15 years, Donnie Shell.
Right.
Did you have to twist some arms or how did that even come about?
Listen, man, when I first got the call in free agency that the Pittsburgh Steelers were interested in me, I didn't give a damn what number they were going to give me. You know what I mean? And, Rog, at the time, Rogers, our equipment, he calls me up. He's like, well, you wore number 32 in Jacksonville, and there was a guy who played here, you know, years ago who had this awesome play We don't really give that number out. I said, dude, I wouldn't even think to ask for that. And he's like, well, you know, is there any number that you want? And I'm like, I really don't care. You know, I wore 23 in college, 22 in Little League. I think Jason Simmons had 23. I was like, literally, I said, I don't care. He was like, you know, it would be cool. And he was like, you know, Donnie Shell. I'm like, yeah, I love him. You know what I mean? He was like, why don't you wear 31? And I'm like, isn't that, you know, that number off limits right. too? And he was like, listen, the story is perfect. A young guy from Pittsburgh to play safety. He idolized Donnie Shell. He was like, I'm sure he wouldn't mind if you would be the first one that wore number 31. So he's like, you know, if you want, you can call him up and ask him. I'm like, hell no. I'm like, you call him up and ask him. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, hey, Mr. Shell, this is Mike Logan. And they ended up, I don't even know, if I think they called out and asked him. And he's like, no, I don't care. I would love for him to do that. And for me to be the first person to ever don that number after the Torpedo Award, I mean, it put high expectations on me because I'm like, I'm not trying to fill his shoes, you know. Even off the field, the man that he is off the field, I admire just as much as the man on the field. So wearing that number for me was just the ultimate sign of respect and trying to pay homage to a legend without trying to say I'm emulating what he was doing on the field, because I knew that that really couldn't happen. You know what I mean? I mean, so, but I was honored to wear that number. And my man Beanie is representing it now, and West Virginia dog, you know what I'm saying? So it's in the passing of the torch is just getting better, you know, getting better on the line.
Well, our guy Brian, who comments on the YouTube feed all the time, wants to know, is Rich Rod going to restore glory to the ears now that he's back?
I'm praying. I got my cross out here and everything. I'll be at, but I will say this, what Rich Rod is going to do, and he has already done, is extend an invitation and an olive branch to all of the alumni who's played at West Virginia, because we were kind of missing that in the previous years after Don Nealon left. Just trying to make sure that we're you know, acknowledged and accepted around there. And I think when Neil Brown was there, he didn't know like how much of the history and tradition of West Virginia was. So he was kind of disconnected from the alumni, and a lot of us didn't have any, you know, presence around that program. And I think you need that for a program to be successful. And Rich Rod has already, you know, extended his hand out to us, and he wants us back. He wants us to be around the young guys. He wants us to make sure that they understand what the program is about. And I think that by him doing that, that'll at least elevate something as far as the program goes. It might not get wins and losses on the field, but I think it'll help with recruiting. I think it will help with just having that tradition and letting people know that when they come to West Virginia, they'll be taken care of and remember it always.
Well, Mike, you know, Mac likes to book guests on this program that comes on and takes shots at me, as we can tell by today. However, you worked with one, Chris Mack, what, 15 years ago? So you must have some good embarrassing stories about Mac.
Listen, I'll tell you this. Mac saved my tail a couple of times, man, because he was producing the show back then. Him and Laird were, like, producing. And, you know, I'm on a primetime radio talk show. We're not just talking football. You know what I'm saying? Now, yep. I know a lot of the history and the tradition of Pittsburgh sports because I was born here. So when we're talking about hockey and bringing on soccer guests, like I'm like, yo, I need some questions. I need to know a little bit of history. You know what I mean? And Max in my ear letting me know during commercial breaks what kind of questions to ask. So I owe a lot to him for, you know, my media career and helping me out. You know what I mean? Just like I always gave you the interview. You know what I mean? This is full circle moment right here, man. Is. Why the hell y'all just not having me on the show? I thought, no. Mac, I got a bone to pick with him, too. He called me out to do a podcast.
That's what I want to hear.
He called me out to do a podcast and never paid me for it. He told me he was going to give me. So I'm putting everything out right now. And why am I just now getting on the show? When y'all
Well, we wanted to wait until the audience was big enough, Mike.
Listen, I thought it was going to be, you know, KLM, Kabali Logan Mack. I mean, I'm giving y'all gems right now, man. And y'all just leaving me out, man. I don't understand this.
I think you need to make your radio return. There's people out there.
Well, I thought about it, and I do some spot work stuff, man. But now I got two younger kids, you know. Started over, hit the reset button. I have an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old reigning Kingston, and any extracurricular activity that you can think of, they are in it. I mean, right now, my son, he just got signed up for golf. My 6-year-old, we're going to chess. We've got a chess club that we attend today at 3:15. We got Taekwondo right after that at 5:20. Rain's supposed to have soccer practice. No, Rain is supposed to have 10U baseball practice tonight. He's playing up. He just made the travel all-star team for soccer, 10U, where they're going up to Edinburgh to play in that tournament. So my time is real limited now. So, you know, I can only hop
on. Who's enjoying this more, though? The kids or you?
A little bit of both, because people don't know that I was a hell of a baseball player coming up. And baseball was probably my best sport. And Leland actually gave me an unofficial tryout in 1991. My dad worked for KDKA and kind of slid some you know, info in the Jim's ear, and he gave me an unofficial tryout in 91. But my mother wouldn't let me do it because I had got a full scholarship to West Virginia. And she's like, there's no way you're giving up a scholarship to go maybe play in the minors and work your way up, even though I loved baseball. I was probably a better baseball player than I was equivalent to football, but I just was bored with the game. It just came naturally to me. I never worked anything, but I was a slugger. I played center field, played a little bit of first base. I was a wild thing pitcher, but that wasn't going anywhere. I didn't have any kind of control, but I was a better baseball player. So now I'm getting to live vicariously through my 6-year-old who's playing up on the 8U team, who is crushing it.
Oh, I saw him last year.
Man, he's crushing it. I'm loving it, man. But I didn't want to coach. I wanted to be dad that you know, was in the stands and gave the coaches hell. They conned me into doing it, so now I'm out there. But they don't mess with me. So at least now, you know, I tell the parents, like, they say something, and I just turn around, and I'm like, I can still hit. You know what I mean? I'll run up on you. I carry my helmet in my car, so they get out of line. Y'all might see me on the news for tackling a parent, but that's what's going to happen. Y'all come out there and try to attack me.
Well, I gotta ask you about the current Steelers and just what you make of the offseason. Maybe it's – I don't know. Let's start with the elephant in the room, which is Rodgers, and your thoughts on the fact that they've sort of silently pursued this – not silently. They've pursued this guy who may or may not have some sort of handshake agreement with them about when he's going to come in, how he's going to come in, and just whether he can actually be effective. This is my biggest concern. Can he be effective enough on the field to actually add to this roster?
That's the big question. For me, it's just an ish show. You know what I mean? Like, even him with all the charades that's going on now, you know, if you got a deal, fine. This ain't the type of town that you come into and piss around. You know what I mean? We want to know what's going on. I said this last year, and a lot of people gave me flack in the barbershop. I was like, they're bringing in two quarterbacks signed to a one-year deal. We have nothing after that. So I was already thinking about that. Now, I thought that they would give Justin a deal and extend him, and he would be our future. But right now, we're in disarray. I mean, seriously. And this is not to take shots at Mason Rudolph and whoever is behind them, but with the Steelers franchise, you're not going to win a Super Bowl without a franchise quarterback. It's just not going to happen. It's never happened when they only win with a franchise quarterback. You only win the big game with a franchise quarterback. Is Aaron Rodgers going to come in here in 1 year and give us that? No, I don't think he's going to do that. He's 2 years removed from an Achilles injury. I do like the Steelers' offensive line and where they're going with that, so he may have the protection, but we need a guy who can improvise and run down the field and do those things, and I don't think he's going to be able to do that. If we establish the running game and he's able to sit in the pocket, who's he going to throw the ball to now? You know what I mean? He got one main big target, and he's a hell of a big target, but I don't think that's enough. So bringing him to the table right now necessarily – in my opinion, doesn't do much to elevate the Pittsburgh Steelers offense.
You know, you've been part of many locker rooms and very talented and veteran defensive locker rooms. How do you think they would accept Aaron Rodgers when he comes in, even if it is training camp with no questions asked, welcome him on? Or is there something behind the scenes you think they're like, you know, texting each other saying, man, what's up with this guy? I mean, take us what you think might be happening behind the scenes with some of these veteran defensive guys, which there's a bunch of them on this team.
Right. Now, these teams are a little different than what we had. Like, we wouldn't have tolerated this. We'd have been like, yo, you coming or not? You know what I mean? Can you imagine Joey Porter? If Joey Porter sitting there in the locker room and we don't got no quarterback and we're trying to figure out, bro, he might have seen this dude out in Vegas and punched him in the face or something. You know what I mean? I mean, that has happened, you know? So, I mean, we wouldn't have tolerated that. I'm sure there are some conversations, and maybe, and even if he does have a handshake agreement with the front office about when he's coming, why keep it behind closed doors and why keep it under wraps? And just, you know, the camaraderie and the stuff that you get in training camp and OTAs and starting to establish things, he's missing that right now. So when you come in after all of that's done and established, like, it's, you can't make that first impression on the guys who've already been there, you know, putting in some work and trying to figure out what they're going to be and what their identity is. What is the Pittsburgh Steelers' offensive identity right now? We have no idea. We have no idea what the identity of the offense is right now, because who's the signal caller? You know what I mean? I mean, we thought we had a couple receivers. We don't even have an established, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If they went 5 wides right now, I wouldn't even know who was on the roster. Who would be in the lineup?
Right. This is part of what I brought up to Mark earlier when we were talking about this. Mike is. Rodgers is still that kind of dude who can walk out there in the fourth quarter and still, you know, it can still summon lightning occasionally, right?
Right.
He can still do that, much like Ben at the very end of his career could still do that occasionally. Maybe not every week, though, and that's great. That's all well and good, but the offense is going to look appreciably different with Rodgers under center than it does with anybody else, Rudolph, Howard, Skylar Thompson, whoever it may be. And all the preparation that you're doing through these OTAs, I don't want to say it goes totally out the window once Rodgers walks in, but a lot of it changes when Rodgers walks in, because he's going to want the offense to do what he wants it to do, what he's comfortable doing with it. And it doesn't devalue OTAs, but it does make a lot of what you're doing right now, you question how much it's worth.
My thing is, okay, him and Arthur Smith, have they sat down and talked about what, you know, the game plan is going to be? You know, that he has to work on timing with different receivers. Even so much so as the snap count and how him and Zach are going to, you know, the center QB exchange. Those are all the type of things that you work on right now. Can they do it and get it together? Of course they can. I mean, it can happen, but you get a comfort level about being able to enunciate your voice and the cadence with your offensive linemen. That all goes in, and it takes time to get that in order. They're missing out on all that instrumental stuff that goes on in the pre-camps, the rookie mini-camps, the OTAs, and all those things. And it's more of a show. It's more of a, you know, a internet theme that we're all talking about, wondering, oh, is he coming to town? You know, we seen him at Doughboys. Listen, I'll tell you when he's coming. We see his ass down at Arts in the Strip. If he come to the Yellow Brick Building, then he's coming to play for Steelers. Until then, take your ass out White Oak or somewhere out there. I mean, we ain't looking for him right now. He come to Arts. He come to Arts and he see me first drink on me. I got you champagne and chicken wings, baby. Let's go.
Go for some wings right now.
You know what I mean? But get him there. Come on, man.
It's been, what, 8, 9 years since the Steelers won a playoff game?
Yeah.
Coming from a guy like, obviously, you came in. You had 15-1 record. You won the Super Bowl. I hate to say embarrassed or anything, but how does the alumni feel about that streak of 8, 9 years now without a playoffs, you think?
You know, me being a Pittsburgher, even more than an alumnus of the Steelers, is what eats at me. You know what I mean? Because, of course, I'm a fan, and we're used to winning. Now, you know, from the 70s until 05 was a long time that, you know, we didn't win a Super Bowl, and then we were able to get another one in 08. So I think we kind of got accustomed in thinking that we were going to bring back that story tradition of winning a Super Bowl every so often and not being able to go in and win a playoff game. The drought is definitely start to weigh on all of us. You know what I mean? You can't go anywhere and not talk about it. And I damn sure can't go anywhere in the city of Pittsburgh and somebody not asking me, what the hell is going on, man? Get your old ass back out there and try to make some play. Not going to happen. And I wouldn't bring any value to that, but we're kind of spoiled. You know what I mean? I was down in Jacksonville. I got drafted by Jacksonville, and we started winning right away down there. And everybody thought that we were just going to continue to keep on winning and making the playoffs. And then they went through their drought. And I'm like, listen, what happened up in New England and what's happening in Kansas City right now isn't the prototypes, you know, dynasties for the NFL. So you're going to go through some droughts. But right now, I think everybody in Pittsburgh's at their wit's end about it. And, you know, we need to turn the tide. But we can't do that without a damn established franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean.
So what's going to happen this year?
I'll say this. You guys won a Super Bowl. I know Ben was, you know, Ben was doing Ben stuff, especially in the playoff run. But you guys won a Super Bowl on the back of a defense. So, you know, and
the bus.
And the bus. Yeah. That was a huge part of it, too.
Running game. I mean. We lost our starting back. I mean, I love Jalen. I love the new talent that they brought in, the young guy. But they got to get that established. There's a whole lot that needs to be established. What's your offense? And is that going to be our identity? Because we don't know. You know what I mean? If Aaron comes in and they're saying, oh, we're going to just start running the ball down your throat, is he going to be okay with that? Is him and Arthur Smith going to be able to sit down and say, all right, we're just going to let them, we're going to do three yards in a cloud of dust like we used to do back in the day? You think Aaron Rodgers is going to sit there and say, no, I need some shine. I'm not coming in here to hand the ball off 35 times and see if we can get 100 yard, you know, back. He wants to throw the ball a little bit, and he wants to be the guy who says that I led them to the playoffs and got a playoff win.
Well, if they can convince him though, Mike, that at this point in his career, you know, he's not a game manager. You don't want to tell a guy that, but you know, if they can convince him, hey, we've remade the offensive line the last few years. We feel good about this offense's ability to take shots downfield once we've established the run, then I do think there's something you can build on there, because Rodgers at this point in his career isn't as mobile as he once was. Right. You tell Rodgers, hey, listen, if we can build in some play action to this thing, get the run game going, you're going to have the ability to really take some big chunks downfield with a guy like DK Metcalf on the outside, and hopefully, finally, using Freiermuth the way he needs to be used in the middle of the field.
I agree with that, but do you think his ego will allow them to do that? And he's not here to even sit down and start establishing that conversation.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So we really don't know. We really don't know. I think he's at a point in his career where we can say those things, but is he going to accept it? Because any competitor, once you get out on the field, you feel like, I want to be the one who, if you've already done it, you want to come in and say, I can do it again. It doesn't matter that I'm 42 years old and spend half my time meditating in the Himalayan mountains or whatever the hell he does. But I don't know if his ego will allow him to do that. Just by, he's showing you right now that he has an ego by doing this. What logical reason can he have for saying, okay, I'm going to sign at this point, or I'm not going to sign, or I'm going to do that? Like, give me a logical reason that we would be sitting here wondering if we're going to have Aaron Rodgers as our quarterback on the Pittsburgh Steelers. What is this, May 23rd? Listen, I'm going over to OTAs next week or
Tuesday.
I might get my media pass revoked again, like how K-Bob had me back in the day, if I go over there and talk to him, because I'm going to hit him with the real questions. Like, and it's going to be off the record, but it's going to be on the record, because I might be doing it live on Facebook.
You would, obviously, you know a thing or two about safety, flipping to the other side of the ball real quick. Why do you think Minka hasn't had those splash plays over the past 2 years? Is there anything you could put your finger on of they put him in situations not to succeed in that area, or what do you feel that the issue's been there?
I don't think so. I think Minka's the type of player is I think he's going to give you consistency. You know what I mean? And the splash plays, they will come in bulk at times. And then sometimes, you know, you're just not. And then, you know, he's getting a little older. I think that, you know, some of the plays that he may make are going to other people now. You know, Beanie came in and started making splash plays out of nowhere. And they might have been setting him up to do that. You might want to have Minka as your safety net and making sure that he does his assignments and make sure that everybody else is in their lines and playing different roles. And he's not the type of guy who says, I want the glory for it. You know what I mean? I could just sit back and say, as long as I'm doing my job and, you know, they'll come again. Because he's going to put himself in position to where he'll get a couple tipped interceptions or be in the right place at the wrong time for the quarterback to make a play. I think he's fine. I think he's a great leader out there. I think he's a guy who can keep people organized. And, with his athletic ability, I think he'll get some splash plays. But I think we've become dependent on that. You know, like, damn, where's he at? You know, especially after you see the tenure of, you know, somebody like Troy who made, you know, just – dynamic plays all the time. So
well, that's part of it too. Like I think a lot of us get caught up in, we want all of our safeties to play like that now. And that's not what Minka is. He is a true center fielder in a lot of ways. My concern is that when the coverage gets better on the outside, and I thought the coverage on the outside was really good most of last year with Peasy Jr. And we talked about Dante Jackson earlier. Now they got Darius Slay in the fold. When the coverage is that solid on the outside, I want to see my free safety running around making more plays, and he didn't have as many of those.
Hey, listen, how you think I was able to be out there, manning down the post? It wasn't because I was doing nothing dynamic. We had some guys on the outside, Ike and you know, those guys were out there. B-Mac was out there making my job real easy, and I was okay with not getting exposed, you know, back there by my time. So if you got some good guys on the outside, and he's doing his job. I mean, he's not like getting burnt. You're not seeing the back of his jersey all the time. He's still coming up, getting in the fold of making tackles and doing those things. But the ball is just not falling in his way right now. I have no problem with Minka still being, our safety back there, man, in the defensive backfield.
My question is now is a very important one. Can you still run the flex bone?
Yes.
You weren't the fullback, were you?
Listen, I was interchangeable, bro. I was interchangeable. People don't know I was a tailback, man. I was a tailback. I went to West Virginia as a tailback. Do you know how I started playing corner? I went to the Big 33 game in 1991, and we had like 7 All-State running backs up at the Big 33. And he was like, I forget who our coach was. He was like, listen, you're only going to play like a quarter, maybe get like 3 carries. I'm like, dude, I got the whole McKee sport up here. I got people from Whitaker Projects and St. Clair Village. Like, I got to play. I got to be on the field, or there's going to be a mutiny up in Hershey. There's going to be a mutiny up here. So he said, listen, we only got like 1 cornerback. If somebody plays corner, and in high school, I never played corner. I played safety like Rover. So I didn't know how to play man-to-man coverage. My hips were tight. Ty Law taught me how to play cornerback in 3 days up at the Big 33 in like our host family's yard. Like, we were out there like doing drills, man. He taught me how to play corner in the game, played corner. I think we played against Maryland. I think Jermaine Lewis had 1 catch on me for like 8 yards or something like that. I got down to West Virginia, and the defensive back coach is like, I think you need to play corner. I was like, I'm a tailback. I'm going to the tailback room, and I'm going to play tailback. And that's what y'all recruited me for. That's what they said my offer was. And they told me to go sit in the 7th seat in the running back room. And that was the depth chart. And they were like, yeah, good luck with getting some playing time on that. But they were like, in the cornerback room, you could probably go sit in the 2nd or 3rd seat. And after about a week of not getting no carries and sitting on the bench, you know, I'm like, I want to play. I went into that defensive back room, and they started teaching me how to be a corner. So that flex bone and all that stuff went out the window. But the saving grace was they told me that I was able to return kickoffs and punts. and I was able to lead the nation in kickoff return average as a redshirt freshman down at West Virginia.
Mike, we could sit here and talk ball with you all day. We'll have to have you on again soon. When you're not running to Taekwondo and chess club and baseball and all the soccer, everything else you got going on. We can't thank you enough for the time today, man. It's always great to see your face and chop it up with you. And we appreciate you doing it.
Man, you already know, man. Tell the family I said hello, man. Will. Your beautiful wife. Tell her I said, what up, man? If it wasn't for her, you wouldn't be the man you are. You already know that.
That's
she's
right.
She's always taking care of you, but I appreciate you, bro, man. Okay, Bob, we all right now, but I still got my helmet in the car. So if I see you and run up on you and just knock you out, just accept it. And we're going to be going from there, man.
So that's why you gave me the stink eye last year in Swissville.
You know what I mean? I was waiting for a moment just like this to put it all out there, man. But you guys are doing great, man. I'm able to tune in and check y'all out sometime, man. Keep on doing your thing. Mac, you know how we go, man. We always got that connection there. You always my guy, man. So
appreciate you, Mike.
Have fun in the cruise.
All right, now. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Legend we'll talk soon.
Check me out. Book your tickets now and get the jersey like I got.
Looking good, man. We appreciate it, Mike.
All right, now.
All right, Mike. Take it easy.
We'll see you. Mike Logan, Steelers great with us. We could have talked for like another half hour, but it was like 45 minutes. I was like, we got to let Mike get on with his day.
Yeah. You know, I swear to God, that story was like 2015. Maybe not even. And, you know, they're like hammering me to write something and do this. I might have used one quote. They probably took it out of context, blew it up.
Can't trust those editors, Kabali.
I mean, that's what it was. That's what it was. I think the old nut graph of the whole thing for him was when he said, "Yeah, we were all lined up getting our Toradol shots." I'm like, honestly, nobody holds that against you, man.
No,
be right there with you.
They're still taking the old Toradol. They just don't talk about it.
I don't even know what happened, what it was. I just know I was like the number one guy at the tribute, and I called up Mike, and I called up what's his name, the agent who player turned agent from Pittsburgh. What was his name?
Oh! I know who you're talking about. I can't remember his name. Sindrich.
Yes. Yeah. Sindrich. He probably had better quotes.
We got to thank our good friends at Impact HVAC. It's going to start to heat up. It's not like that out there right now, but it's going to be summertime soon. You're going to want to make sure your AC is working. Get it tuned up. Any maintenance that needs to be done before you get it fired up for the summer season. Or you just want a place to call when maybe the furnace goes on the fritz later this year. Impact HVAC PGH on Facebook. 412-297-1852. We thank Impact HVAC for their support as well. All right. We've waited long enough. It's time to give away.
I forgot all about this.
You forgot about the Pat Freiermuth giveaway? How could you forget? It's like the whole.
I'm not winning it, so.
Well, that's true. So, unless. How many burner accounts have you created on YouTube to try and win this thing?
Hey, Daniel Wright here. I had to change my background because he thought that was my piano.
Why'd you change it? I love the fact that some people think that's really your living room. All right.
Why is everybody's camera nice and crisp and clear and I look like I'm...
Because you do the weird background thing.
Watch, I'll take it
off. Now you got it blurred.
What I'm doing? I'm just saying. I'm blurred. Like, it makes a difference. Now you get to see the kitchen. It's not like it's clear. You're clear. Mike was clear. Me, I don't know what's going on here.
Maybe something's wrong with your monitor or your camera. I don't know what to tell you.
Maybe I should do it off of my phone.
That's probably a bad idea. Although that would keep you from getting distracted by your phone during the show. All right, I'm going to fire up the old random number generator. Okay, yeah, you do the noise. There's the random number generator.
Eight wins.
Nope, I got to hit it. 1298.
Ooh, that's a recent one then.
That's going to be a fairly recent one. That's going to be someone who wasn't eligible for the Bettis autographed jersey or
Larry Yellen.
Larry Yellen, yeah. Or what else have we given away so far? The Bettis jersey. Oh, and the Sid plaque. This will be somebody, like you said, relatively new. So I'm going to scroll through the list of subscribers here. There's 50 on a page, so I got to go Jesus, it's like page 26, I think. Yeah.
You're asking the wrong guy there.
I got to go to page 26. One,
26
two,
times 50 is 1,300.
Three. Oh, this is going to take a while. Keep talking, Kaboom. Four.
Can't you just go up on the top and just...
Oh, you know what I could do? I could go to the... If there's 50 rows per page, I could go... No, I'm just gonna keep this doing
is,
it this,
this
way.
This is why.
This is... No, you wanted me to just... To slack-ass this and do it half-ass. What?
I saw eight up there.
No, I wasn't going to do eight.
Look,
as much as we would appreciate the eighth subscriber winning something, I'm going to actually count this out and get all the way to... What number was it again?
1,298.
I got to get all the way to 1,298 on the subscriber list.
Just go to 26 page and two before that, right?
Now you're asking way too much. Okay, here we go. I'm almost there.
I want a recount.
Just don't finish two votes short.
Oh, poor Callis. No. Callis wore a shirt and tie today to announce that he lost.
Now I got to go back three because I'm at 1,300. Okay, here we go. Back two. Sorry. All right. Jason Jones.
Jeez, that's a made-up name.
It is not. This guy's got Jason Jones 2346 on YouTube. If you are Jason Jones and you're watching this now, or you know Jason Jones, it's very important you have him get in touch with us so that I can get his mailing address and send off the Pat Freiermuth autographed Penn State football helmet. Jason, you're free to do whatever you want with it after that, but it is now officially yours. Jason Jones 2346 on YouTube. Oh, wow. He's got a whole playlist of cooking videos. Jason's a big chef, I bet. But he's
right. He's my type of guy.
Yeah.
Now, Jason Jones is a very common name. How about if a random Jason Jones emails the program?
No, we've got to know that he's got to prove that it's Jason Jones 2346.
How do you prove that?
Prove it. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to get into the what's and why's and how's. I just need Jason Jones.
Isn't he having the Tommy John surgery?
No, that's Jared Jones.
My fault.
Yeah. So, Jason Jones, 2346 on YouTube. Congrats. You've won the autographed Pat Freiermuth helmet, which is down in the box here. I'm not going to pull it out again because I don't want to do anything to it. It's now in its pristine, perfect state. Thanks to First and Goal Collectibles, firstandgoalsports.com. for providing it, and we will be sending it to Jason as soon as he reaches out with his mailing address. And then the next giveaway, super, super massive. Don't fall asleep before we're done, Kaboom. That we will do. Have we decided 2,500? Is that what we're going to do for the number? Since this is such a big giveaway, the next one?
Well, yeah, sounds good to me. It might take a couple of months.
Do we want to tell people what it is now? Or do you want to wait?
You know what? We probably should wait because, you know, bird in the hand, right? All of a sudden, be like, ah, sorry, I couldn't get that. We're going to go with what he said.
He says he has it coming in. So it's big. We'll just leave it at that. We'll announce it on the next episode. Okay?
Huge.
It's going to be a wonderful giveaway. You're going to love it. Some people are calling it the best giveaway ever. So we'll do that on what will be episode 58. We will do that next Tuesday. We'll do it early in the morning.
Uh-oh, we got a message.
It's a done deal.
First and goal.
Is that what you're saying? Yeah. Bang. It's a done deal. We'll announce it on the next episode anyway, just to build some suspense.
Instead, go to First and Goal and try to hammer him. Tell you what it is.
$25 gift card to IHOP. No, Torch. No,
I've been to IHOP. I've never been to the other one, Waffle House. Never been to Waffle House.
You've never been to a Waffle House?
Nope.
How is that possible in all your travels that you've never been to a Waffle House?
Every time I try to go in, it looks as scuzzy as possible.
It's kind of part of the attraction of Waffle House.
Well, I was in Phoenix for the owner's meeting, and I had a hotel right next to the Waffle House. I'm like, oh, I'll just walk across to the Waffle House until I saw somebody literally getting changed in their underwear in the parking lot putting their Waffle House uniform on. I'm like, okay, turn around and go back.
It's
I'm done.
It's part of the brand. It's part of the culture at Waffle House. It's what you get there. All right, that's going to do it for today's episode. Next week will be a little bit earlier on Tuesday, and we haven't decided if we're doing Wednesday or Thursday yet because Kaboom's got to visit Doc Bradley. We got Dr.
Rifka. Dr. Rifka.
Oh, sorry, Dr.
Which Rifka, is?
Who was part of Doc Bradley's practice.
Yes.
So, but at the very least, Tuesday morning, we will set you up again for OTAs and what to expect. Who knows what kind of news we may have over the long Memorial Day weekend, but we hope each and every one of you enjoy it. Thanks again to all of you for subscribing. If you haven't yet, get on it because the next giveaway is going to be massive. If you know Jason Jones, tell him to get a hold of us so we can get him this Pat Freiermuth helmet. And we will do it again on Tuesday. Kevin Gorman scheduled to stop by and talk about, he'll give us a little bit of a Paul Skeens check-in. Skeens supposed to start tonight, isn't it?
Paul Skeens, who's that? He scored 5 runs yesterday.
Yeah. Big night. First time in like 3 weeks they scored more than 4 runs.
Was there, you know, Buckos, once again, before we go, really know how to do that PR well. The 9 people that stayed last night gets free tickets the rest of the week.
Stop it.
The 9 people that were there. Okay. Woo. There couldn't have been no more than 9 people there last night after the rain delay.
Well, I mean, rain delay.
Freezing, man. I had to turn on the fireplace. It was so cold last night.
Hopefully the weather, it won't be very warm tonight, but I think at the very least, it's not supposed to rain maybe. So you can check out Skeens if you want to go down the old ball yard. And like I said, Tuesday, Gormy the Owl going to join us. Kevin Gorman, who covers the Pirates, to talk Skeens a little bit with all the nonsense that people.
Well, Gormy, you know what else? Gormy covered a lot of Steelers this past year with Rutter out for the past couple of months, so he might have an opinion there.
Oh, too. I'm sure he does. I'm sure he has some opines. So we'll talk to Gormy on Tuesday.
I gotta send you something to really mess with Gormy. The Gormy spin move.
We do.
Absolutely.
We'll describe that. We'll expound on it on Tuesday for everybody. Thanks for hanging out today. We appreciate every single one of you. Have a great Memorial Day weekend. Stay safe. Don't do anything too stupid. And we'll talk to you on Tuesday morning. This has been Kabali and Mac. Thanks again to all of you for joining.